What up, what up, what up, everybody? This is the Ultimate Patriots Dr. Football Around the League podcast. This is the edition of the podcast where we focus on everything happening outside of Foxborough. For the best Patriots coverage, check out our Patriots podcast, which we also record every Tuesday. But this episode is all about the NFL at large. Justin, joining me as always, my man Justin Fine, the CEO of Hedge Better LLC. Justin, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know what is funny? I mentioned last week, I pulled off the perfect weekend, right? Where you win money gambling, you win all your fantasy matchups. Well, let's just say we even back out this week in all senses of the word. There was yep. not too many positives this weekend to take away from football, but nevertheless, still some good games. Got the pleasure of watching some really good games, honestly.
Give us your gambling loss of the week. What was the toughest beat of the week?
Oh, the toughest beat of the week. I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was I put the house on Dak Prescott to have over 1.5 passing touchdowns.
And you're such a cowboy hater too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. But you know what? I looked at it and I said, Detroit is giving up the most passing yards and fantasy points to receivers and quarterbacks. And they got a high flying offense. Dallas is at home. They're going to need to score. Dak Prescott's going to have a couple of nice touchdowns. And the guy had zero touchdowns. The Cowboys looked absolutely awful. That was embarrassing.
That's one of the games we're going to get to, Justin, because that was the only bet that I lost this week.
Yep.
I stupidly took the cheese on the Detroit Lions. I mean, excuse me, the Dallas Cowboys at home against Detroit. It was one of those things where every indicator and sign in the world pointed to the Detroit Lions, and it just seemed all too easy. And they're not building casinos in Vegas because, you know, it's predictable. Yeah. So everyone else is zigging. I decided I'm going to zag on this one. So I took the Dallas Cowboys. I took the points, and they got smoked in Jerry's house. We'll get to that. We'll get to all of it. But I want to start with the game last night. And really, I'd say the biggest news story in the NFL right now, which is the trade that happened today for two wide receivers. Big one, the first one that broke. The Jets trading for Devontae Adams. This is a big move by the New York Jets. We're talking about in the Patriots episode, we were talking about if the Patriots can still be in it. The New York Jets are 2-4. And based on their actions today, you can tell they still feel like they're very much in it. And why wouldn't they? They're only one game out of that last wild card spot held by the Indianapolis Colts at 3-3. The Jets, Justin, are going completely all in on Aaron Rodgers. They fired the coach. They brought in his BFF wide receiver. They are all in on this 40-year-old quarterback that I'm not sure he's all in on them.
Yeah.
But does this move, Justin, save the New York Jets season?
You know, part of me wonders just how much Devontae Adams is going to play. The guy's been beat up. I think he's got a hamstring injury he's dealing with. Now, look, who knows how much of that was just, you know, gamesmanship dealing with what he was dealing with down in Vegas. But look, Devontae Adams has had some health history. I wonder how much he's going to be able to stay in the field. I think it helps this team. Do I think it turns them into all of a sudden a Super Bowl favorite or a big time contender? No, but I think it really can help this offense out, hopefully. Another interesting thing too to note is that Mike Williams, you know, who we've talked about before, not only did he drop a couple of easy passes in the game, but then on that last kind of down the field effort, he slipped and fell, right? And then did you see today, he was made available for trade. So that was, we see Rodgers pulling a ton of strings.
Well, how do we know that Mike Williams ran the wrong route, Justin?
Right, right.
Because why? Because Aaron Rodgers completely threw him under the bus in the post-game press conference and told the world that he ran the wrong route.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, you see Saleh get fired, you see Devontae Adams get brought in, and then you see Mike Williams get put in the trade block. Like, those are all just supporting pieces of evidence that this team is all in on Aaron Rodgers.
They're all in, but I think that Rodgers is the problem.
I agree.
He is the problem. I think that the way he is off the field, he could get away with it when he was the all world quarterback, but he is like diminished. Say he's 10 or 20% diminished off what he was a few years ago. And I just think that act wears tired. I don't think he's the same player on the field. I think the off the field nonsense gets weary when that is the case. And I think that the Jets will be a better team with Davante Adams. Okay, they'll be a better team. Maybe they'll even eke into the playoffs, but they're not going to be what they think they can be. Woody Johnson on record saying he thinks this is the best collection of talent they've ever had, that he thinks this is a Super Bowl team. They are not a Super Bowl team with or without Davante Adams.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot wrong with this team. Forget about the offense for a second. All we've heard about is how good this defense should be. And that defense has completely disappointed me week in and week out. I mean, they've beat up on some good teams, but you know, when they were put to the test, they failed.
Robert Saleh must have been laughing last night when he was watching that Jets run defense on the opening drive and the way that the Bills completely gashed them.
Absolutely. You know what? Well, it also too, I guess to take a step back, I will say this in total fairness, right? You could single-handedly point to Greg Zuerlein as the reason they're 2-4, not 4-2, right?
Yeah, fair.
So I get it. If the Jets were sitting here at 4-2 and they had beat Buffalo the other night, they had beat Denver a few weeks ago, and they're on top of the AFC East, they're, you know, this and that. I think we're talking a much different game here, a much different story. But look, the bottom line is, things went differently. They are in a different situation, and I think it's starting to expose some of the problems in that organization right now with this team.
I say this as someone that bet the Buffalo Bills last night.
Yeah.
But in the second half of that game, it just felt like that was the Jets game last night. And I really felt like the Jets, in all fairness, should have won that game.
I agree. Night.
There was a lot that really kind of weird, fluky things that went wrong to give Buffalo that win. Two missed field goals, the terrible interception, a couple other weird things that just really worked against them. That was the Jets game. I mean, and that was a tough loss for them last night.
Very tough loss. Like you said, a couple of missed field goals, that slip by Mike Williams leading to the interception, the touchdown that gets called back from, you know, a penalty. Like, the Jets had all of the momentum in every chance to win, and they just were the Jets. They were the Jets. They found a way to lose, found a way to give the game away.
Well, they're in a position now where they're going to be under a ton of pressure, right? Because, you know, you got to start winning some games. You're 2-4. You fired the coach. You brought in the receiver. You're 100% in. You push all your chips on the table. The wins better start coming, or it could get really ugly down in New York. And you know what? I think they know that. I think they know that, but what choice do they have? You know, it's either it's Rodgers or bust. You know, this either works out this year and it takes you somewhere that you haven't been in a long time as an organization, or you're going back to the drawing board next year anyways.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Look, at this point, you know that your window with Aaron Rodgers is maybe another year or two at best. And I think you just have to go all in trying to capitalize on that window.
One other little aside on this game. Did you see on the Manning cast last night, Belichick absolutely trashed Woody Johnson? Anybody that thinks Bill Belichick would ever even think about going to the New York Jets, that was completely discredited last night.
So I didn't. I heard him call out the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary, but I didn't hear what he said about Woody Johnson.
You have to look it up. It was so forceful. He was basically like, that's what Woody Johnson does, just fires everybody. It was insulting. It was critical. I think it showed the lack of respect that Belichick has for that organization and that owner. And there is a 0.0% chance he will be the head coach of the Jets ever.
Yeah, I think that's probably a safe bet.
Probably a safe bet. Other side of the ball, Justin, the Buffalo Bills also made a big move today, trading for Amari Cooper. I really like this move for Buffalo. I know Cooper is a little bit past his prime, but I just think with Josh Allen as your quarterback, you don't need the best wide receivers in the history of the world to have a good offense. But I think Buffalo does need an improvement at that position, and they did that today.
Yeah, I love that move for Buffalo. interesting because I knew the Chiefs were at some point in on both of those guys. I wonder if that was a conscious decision by the Browns and the Raiders to say, hey, we're not helping the Chiefs out, because I heard the Chiefs actually had the best offers
to get Amari Cooper today.
To get both of them. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's actually the case, but I heard they had put in the best offers for both of those guys. So, I love that move for Buffalo. I think it was much needed. I think it was pretty evident, you know, in these first five games that, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, you know, those guys
who's hurt now.
Right. That's not a Super Bowl winning trio of wide receivers. You needed to do something.
It's going to be interesting to see what Amari Cooper can do with Josh Allen throwing him the ball.
I agree.
You know, we know Deshaun Watson is bad, but this could be just like another little snippet of insight into how bad Deshaun Watson actually is.
Exactly. And I think it's actually also signaling that the Browns window is closing and there might be a lot of players for sale in that organization, which
Browns window is broken. It's broken. It's shattered. Yeah.
If you just think about the evolution of how that team went, it went from bringing in Baker, and then, you know, with Baker, you're able to become respectable and make the playoffs. And then you make that crazy trade for Deshaun Watson and you put together one of the best defenses in football. And you still can't win, and you fight through injuries, and then there's this, that. You just watch that team's useful window, that life cycle, just completely crash and burn. And totally. They did it to themselves.
Totally self-imposed. They're the only team in the National Football League that hasn't scored 20 points yet this year.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk, Justin, about the next coach fired list. The Jets obviously fired Robert Saleh last week. I think the list of names for a candidate to be next coach fired like swelled in a major way yesterday based on what happened Sunday, based on what happened across the league. I'm going to throw some names out there. You can tell me which one you think. Antonio Pierce. I think Mike McCarthy's on the list. I think Kevin Stefanski's on that list now. Sirianni is two losses away from being on the list, so I'm including him. I almost want to include Dennis Allen on that list. And then my pick for who will be the next coach fired is Doug Peterson, because I think Peterson gets fired this week after the Jags lose to the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're 100% right. I think Jags lose to the Patriots this weekend. I think he's the next one gone. The only, I think, saving grace for McCarthy is that he heads into a bye week. He's got a chance to kind of regroup his guys and make one last push. But I think Mike McCarthy is the next is after Peterson. I think it's Peterson and McCarthy, and then I think it's Sirianni. Those are the three guys I'm watching.
I'm going Peterson, Stefanski, and then Antonio Pierce, and that's my order. I am surprised, Justin, that Jerry Jones didn't fire Mike McCarthy yesterday or today.
I agree.
Going into that bye week, that loss was so embarrassing. That they've gotten smoked out of their own building four straight times, going back to the Green Bay playoff game last year, all three times this regular season. That team is going nowhere. I feel like Mike McCarthy has been on the hot seat for like three freaking years. And, you know, Jerry Jones, he got this like reputation as being this guy that fires coaches and pulls the trigger. It's actually really been the opposite ever since Jimmy Johnson. He holds on to these guys way too long. He held on to Jason Garrett too long. You know, he's doing the same thing now with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy should have gotten fired, I think, today or yesterday, but somehow he has his job.
Totally, totally agree. I can't believe that guy's still hanging around. And we've said it, Dallas, that's just an organization that needs to be shaken up. They need a culture shift. They need a leadership change. They need something, but they're broken. The Cowboys are a broken team right now.
They are a broken team. And I think, look, I was a little more optimistic on the Cowboys this year than you are. And I'm willing to totally admit right now that I was dead wrong about that take. And the reality is that Cowboys team is going absolutely nowhere.
Yeah. And you know what? I know everyone loves Dak. A lot of people got good things to say about Dak, but where was Dak? I mean, you can only put so much on the Cowboys defense and on Mike McCarthy. I mean, Dak has needed to step up in some big situations and he just hasn't, most notably this past weekend against Detroit. He had arguably one of the easiest matchups he would face. He had every reason to need to keep throwing the ball and put up points, and he just looked awful. He looked so bad.
He did look so bad. And, you know, they paid Dak Prescott a ton of money to elevate that team. And I've always been a Dak Prescott fan. You know this. I've defended him. He's not doing that right now. And when I think of the prospects of the future of that franchise, and I'll tie it back into our perspective here, which is the whole Bill Belichick thing. And where does Bill Belichick want to go? And where's a good landing spot for Belichick? You look at that Prescott contract, that Dallas team has a lot of holes on that roster. They're a team built with a quarterback, a receiver, and nothing else.
Yep.
And is that where Bill Belichick wants to land?
I don't think so. I wouldn't.
I don't think so either. I really don't. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, but I think that team is dead in the water. That Dallas team's dead in the water.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Jacksonville, Chicago game in London last week, Justin. Look, we've been skeptical of Caleb Williams the whole time, and let's just pump the brakes on calling him a Hall of Famer, but he has improved a lot in 6 weeks. And if you're being honest, we really have to give Caleb Williams some credit for what he has done over the start of his career.
Yeah. You know what? It's it doesn't bring me joy to say it, but he looks legit. The Bears look legit. I mean, that looks like a pretty good ball club. And I got to say, Caleb Williams, he's living up. He's not only just living up, I think, to the hype so far. You know, he's got a Chicago Bears 4-2. He's progressing each week. He's getting better each week. And that's another big thing. So the kid is getting better each week. He's got his team with a winning record. They're playing good football. And I think it's good for the NFL that the Bears are competitive.
Absolutely. And it's why people need to be patient with Drake May, because Caleb Williams in his first 2 weeks looked like a chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah.
I'd never seen a quarterback go backwards in the pocket as much as he did. And look at where he is now. A few weeks later, he's looking so much better. Yes, he has a ways to go still, but he's looking like an NFL quarterback. He threw for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. I don't care who it's against. That's a step. That's a step for a young quarterback. People need to be patient with this guy, allow him his process of development, and not put too much expectations on him. He's doing actually better than I thought he was going to do.
Yeah, and that was almost 5 touchdowns. They marked, I think it was DJ Moore or Keenan, somebody like an inch short of the goal line. He almost had 5 touchdowns this weekend in London. I mean, look, we just talked about the fact that, you know, it's tough going over to London to play. You know, you get the long flight, you got the time differential, you have all the distractions in the world, plus you're a rookie quarterback, and he went over there and he just balled out. Obviously, the Jaguars didn't do much to get in the way of that. But like I said, he's looking better every week, and the Chicago Bears team is looking better every week. And I'm excited to see, especially once they start getting into some of that divisional play.
Well, the division is great. All
yes.
4 teams in that division have 4 wins.
Yep.
And it could be a situation where you look across that NFC, it's not unimaginable that all 3 wildcard teams might come from that division.
Not at all.
I don't think that's ever happened ever before. Maybe I'm mistaken, but it doesn't come to mind. You know, Detroit's playing Minnesota this week. That's going to be an epic game. All these teams playing each other coming down the stretch is going to be really interesting to watch.
Super, super interesting to watch. That division is really heating up. And you know what? Right now, it's kind of tough to pick who an odd man out could be. I mean, you know, you'd like to think that Detroit is going to find their way into the playoffs. The Vikings at this point should find their way into the playoffs. But, I mean, the Bears and the Packers, I mean, those are 2 really good teams. And I think they'll find their way into the playoffs. So it really would be crazy if all 4 teams from that division wound up making the playoffs. But it's very conceivable at this point.
Let's go, Justin, to the Commanders-Ravens game.
Yeah.
I think that was in Baltimore this weekend. But the statistics that I'm seeing right now about the Baltimore Ravens running game are mind-blowing. And I was a skeptic of the Derrick Henry thing.
Me too.
I didn't think it was going to work. Guess what? It's working. The Baltimore Ravens have an 881-yard run differential through six games. That means they have run for 881 yards more than their collective opponents. That is stunning. It is amazing. It hasn't happened since the 1930s in the NFL. The Ravens, the way they're playing and just the way that team is built, it's like something out of a different era.
It is. And you know what? I mean, look, on paper, you say Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, you know, together in that offense. And it sounds great, but, you know, to that point, there are a lot of concerns, right? Derrick, you know, people are talking about, oh, this is Derrick Henry's age, 31 season. Is he going to be the same? He looked like he was, you know, starting to maybe slow down a little bit in Tennessee. Well, then you find out that the guy said he spends over $250,000 a year in his health and nutrition, and he's looking like the best version of himself that he quite possibly ever has, right? So nothing slowing down there. Lamar statistically having a better season this year than his MVP season last year. And you couple that all with the fact that, knock on wood, this team is staying healthy on both sides of the ball. They're a tough team. They are a tough team to beat. They will be a tough team to beat moving forward. And they're just so dynamic because both Henry and Lamar Jackson create such difficult matchup problems for you. Having to worry about both in one backfield, that's a nightmare for defenses.
It is. But you know what's interesting, too, about the Ravens is, first of all, even though they're running the ball really well, it's not because they lack explosiveness. They have explosive playmakers on that roster. Zay Flowers probably having his best year. Jackson can throw the ball downfield with the best of them. I think you're seeing the best play from Lamar Jackson of his career. And for a two-time MVP, that's really saying something. So,
yeah,
you know, it's the Swiss Army knife principle. Really great teams have to be able to beat you in multiple different ways. How many times did we see that in New England over the years where the Patriots could do so many different things to beat other teams, and it's what made them great? And when I watch the Ravens play, that's what I think of. You know, they can just beat teams in so many different ways between Henry, Lamar Jackson's legs, the receivers, the defense, the way they stop the run. They are a very complete team right now.
They are arguably the most complete team in football at the moment. I mean,
and certainly the AFC, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree. I mean, look, I mean, there's even in the NFC, I mean, you get the problems with the Eagles, the 49ers can't stay healthy. The Lions just lost Aiden Hutchinson. Like, they are, knock on wood, right now, one of the most complete teams in football and one of the most dangerous teams in football, I think.
Absolutely agree. Dangerous team, and a team that I would say is built for the postseason if everyone stays healthy.
Yeah.
And let's face it, that has been the white whale for Lamar Jackson, is his inability to win in January and February. And this team is built, I think, to win in that time of year. You know, it's going to be really one of the major stories in the league. If the Ravens go hang another 13-win season, it almost doesn't matter if they don't win in the postseason, if they don't make a Super Bowl this year.
Exactly. And I think, look, you looked at that game last year against Kansas City where they were so close but came up short yet again. And I think they said to themselves, look, we have to be able to – we got to build a roster that can go into Kansas City and win, that could go into Buffalo and win, right? That could handle some of these heavyweights coming in and giving us their best shot. And that's what they're doing. They've really built a deep, versatile team that doesn't have too many holes to speak of.
Let's move on, Justin. You have been a huge proponent of Spencer Rattler. And we talk a lot about Drake May and the Patriots podcast. He was not the only quarterback to make his debut this week. Spencer Rattler debuting at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Your thoughts on your boy Spencer Rattler's performance in his first start?
Well, you know what? Obviously, they wound up getting crushed. But I thought we saw some promising things from Spencer Rattler. I think, you know, it was a little shaky at times. But he made some good throws. He made some good decisions at certain points. And I mean, look, the biggest thing he's got going for him is that he's got to beat out Derek Carr. You know, talented loser, OG, right? So look, Derek Carr, I think, you know, he hasn't been able to stay healthy for years. Even when he has been healthy, he's been super inconsistent. I think, you know, I was talking to one of my buddies the other day. I think we could be seeing the dawn of the Spencer Rattler era in New Orleans. And if he cleans up a couple things and builds off of some of that progress, I think, I think he can find himself being the starting quarterback for the Saints moving forward.
I mean, don't be fooled by the final score either. I think it looked like a blowout at the end. It was like 51-27, but correct me if I'm wrong. New Orleans hung in that game until late in the third quarter. It was 27-24 at one point, I think in the middle of the third quarter. So it was not as much a blowout as it appeared to be just by looking at the score. I mean, Rattler kind of kept them in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. And he was doing it with he lost Chris Olave. I mean, I think Shaheed went down for a bit like that. He did not have an easy go, but he made it work.
Absolutely. And on the other side of the ball, don't sleep on that Tampa Bay team either. They are a good team. There is a lot of talent on that team left over from that Super Bowl a few years ago. And Baker Mayfield's playing great.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bucs and Baker Mayfield. I mean, I'm waiting for them to come back down to earth, but they're just week in, week out, man. They show up and they do their job.
Okay. Absolutely. All right. And then last topic on this, on the Around the League podcast, Justin, then we can take a quick look at next week and wrap it up. The Pittsburgh Steelers. I was shocked by this story today. I don't know if you saw this. Russell Wilson is getting the first team reps now that he's healthy in Pittsburgh. Apparently he's going to be the starting quarterback. I've never been a Justin Fields guy. I think he's super overrated. People can't get over the fact that he just doesn't have it.
Yeah.
That said, I thought he played as well as he's ever played the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. I'm surprised the 4-2 Steelers, Justin, are turning to Russell Wilson when they've been winning games with Justin Fields.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised too. I think it's got to be, I think this is Mike Tomlin just evaluate. And I think he's saying, look, I've seen what I've gotten out of 6 games at Justin Fields. We brought Russell Wilson in here to be a starter. We have to know who gives us the best chance to win come the end of the season and come playoffs. And I can't say I blame him for that because, what's his name? Oh my God, why am I drawing a blank? Steelers quarterback name right now.
Justin Fields.
Russell Wilson. Good. Yes. Yeah. Justin Fields. I had a little brain fart there.
Sorry. That's a hard name for you to forget.
Yeah. By the way. I know. Yeah. You would think that would be at the tip of my tongue. But Justin Fields, look, you know what you have in him right now. You've seen enough from him. But by the same token, I don't think he's done anything to blow you away and say that he is certified the guy moving forward. I think he's done a good enough job. But I don't blame him at all for saying, hey, Russell Wilson, you're healthy. We brought you in here to start. Let's see what you can contribute as a starter so that we can make the best decision for this team moving forward at the end of the year.
Absolutely. It puts a ton of pressure on Russell Wilson, a guy that has, I think, a lot of negative energy around him from his last couple seasons in Denver. And like, if things don't go well and the Steelers have a somewhat of a tough game against a Jets team that is just made a huge move to save their season this week. And if things don't go well for Russell Wilson, I don't know, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing going on in that Pittsburgh locker room. Guys are going to start questioning that decision. So it's a gutsy move.
Super, super gutsy move. But it's a gutsy move, but at the end of the day, I think it's potentially the right move. And I don't mind it. I really don't.
Think the Steelers will be better? I mean, they haven't been great on offense, in all fairness. They're 4-2. They haven't been scoring points.
That's the thing is, I'm not saying I like it because I think they will definitively be better. I like it because I don't think Justin Fields has done enough to completely eliminate the question mark. And I think you brought Russell Wilson in there to be your starter. And you at least have to see what you got from him so that you can make your best decision moving forward. I think that's really what it is.
It will be very interesting to see this week.
Yeah.
All right, Justin, let's take a minute to take a look at some of the games this week coming up. I don't know if you've looked at any of the spreads. Do you have any games that you like going into this week? There are some great matchups on the docket.
Yeah, so I'm pulling up the DraftKings sportsbook right now. don't know if any of the lines are slightly
I'll give you one that I like, and it looks like all the money's going the other way. I like the Green Bay Packers -3 against Houston. I don't think Houston's going to go 16-1 this year.
Yeah.
I think Green Bay, with Jordan Love getting hurt, I don't think he was 100% until last week. They're home. Houston's hot, but you know, it's a buy low, sell high kind of league. And I like the Green Bay Packers this week. I think they're going to beat Houston in Lambeau.
Yeah. You know, I like that. When I saw that matchup initially, that one stuck out to me. You know, another one that I'm looking at, look, we talked about the Patriots on the Patriots podcast earlier, but I love the Patriots getting 5.5 points against the Jaguars. In another really, really sneaky game, is the Giants at home 3-point dogs to Philadelphia. That's sneaky to me. That's a trap game. Get trap written all over.
Well, the Giants have not been playing bad.
They haven't. No.
And the Eagles are barely, like, they're coasting on fumes.
Yep.
And Malik, it feels like that locker room is about to blow up.
Oh, the locker room's about to implode in Philly, I think.
Absolutely. All right, I'll give you one that I like. I like the Atlanta Falcons -3 at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle coming across the country on the road to a dome on the turf. Atlanta's putting up big points. I think Seattle's super overrated. They played on Thursday night last week at home, so they do get a little bit of extra rest. Maybe that's a factor why this line isn't as high as it should be, but I feel like Atlanta's hot right now at home. I like Atlanta to beat Seattle.
It's tough to bet against Atlanta right now too. I agree with you. I think Seattle, little bit pretenders. I don't think they're as good as maybe their record or maybe some of the people think they are. I like that one. Look, another game I'll pick out is the Colts at home, 3-point favorites over the Miami Dolphins. You can't deny that Joe Flacco, for the last, like, however many, 2 years, he just comes in and he wins, man. Like, the guy comes in and he wins, and he puts up numbers, and he's such a competent backup, whether it was with the Jets or with the Browns, now with the Colts. Like, the guy is Mr. Reliable. I still don't think the Dolphins coming out of their bye are going to be able to figure it out with Tyler Huntley or Skylar Thompson. I think that offense is still going to struggle on the road. And I like the Colts in that one.
That's a good pick. And I don't think the Dolphins historically do very good indoors or on turf.
Yep, there you go. Boom.
Okay, I'll give you one more since we're doing pick volley. That's what we can call this segment, pick volley. Pick volley. Back and forth. Yeah. I like the San Francisco 49ers at home against the Chiefs. I know you don't like the Niners this year. The Niners are down. I think they saved their season last Thursday night with a win against Seattle. They're kind of beat up. I think they're getting healthy. I haven't been super impressed with what I see from Kansas City. I just feel like this is a spot where the Niners should beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
I agree.
Tough one.
I agree with you that this is a spot where they should win. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I watched last year the Chiefs go into the Chiefs go I forget the name of the park.
It used to be called Levi Stadium.
Levi Stadium, right. I think they're going to go in. I think they're going to be able to get it done. I mean, it is a team that they got the 49ers number. They do. I don't know what it is, but they do. And I'm gonna take
a little Super Bowl rematch situation.
Little Super Bowl rematch. Yeah, I know. You know what? Realistically, you should probably take the 49ers. That's probably the smart bet. But I'm gonna take the Chiefs.
And then one game that I'm not feeling strongly about, but it's the game of the week, so I want to mention it and see if you have any thoughts. Detroit at Minnesota, and the Vikings are at home 2.5-point favorites. That's kind of like the game of the week this week. There's some terrific games this week.
I think I'm going to take Minnesota. I am. Yeah, I think I take home. Minnesota in that. Yeah. At home, the Lions just lost. I think I don't want to understate how big that Aiden Hutchinson injury was. I mean, that is a big, big loss.
I hate to say it because I'm kind of an honorary Lions fan, and my heart wants me to say the Lions in this spot, but I agree with you. I think Minnesota is a smart play. By the way, 65% of the betting public disagrees with us, which actually makes me feel good because I like disagreeing with the masses.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, perfect. All right, good. If the public's all on, Detroit, then yeah, that's just pushing me towards Minnesota even more.
Yeah. Well, it's just a general rule. They're not building casinos in Vegas because the public is generally right. So I feel a lot more comfortable if I'm on the other side of what everyone else thinks when it comes to picking football games.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Well, that's all the time we're going to take up today. I want to thank everybody that listened to this edition of the Around the League version of the Ultimate Patriots Dr. Football podcast. I want to wish you all a great week. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the fall weather. Enjoy the games. And we will catch you all next week with a new episode. Take care, everyone.